Somebody asked me last time, why do I have two Bibles? This is my friend. This is the one that has all the nice, sweet little notes in it that the Lord tells me. And if I ever, I'm like, oh, I need to find that. I can get it out of there very quickly. So that's why it just kind of sits here. Because if you don't have a friend, if you don't have a Bible that's your friend, you need to find one. One that you sit with and let him just give you downloads. Because it is very, very precious, the things that he tells you when you read the word. Okay, so we are going to jump right into this. We are in a series in Philippians, and eventually today, everybody say eventually, we're going to get there, okay? We're going to start this morning reading two psalms that the Lord laid on my heart to read for this morning, and then we're going to go on a little journey, and then we're going to get to Philippians in our series, okay? Are y'all good with that? Kid City, you guys are in the room. I love you. You are amazing. You do so good for me back in the back. Please do good for your parents. They need to listen. You know how I tell y'all to listen? They need to listen. So y'all need to listen, okay? At the end, we're going to end this service, I believe, the same way we end Kid City every week, and that's sitting in the presence of the Lord. The kids are going to lead the way with some of that. They don't know it yet, but they are. And so anyway, I love that the kids are in the room, and they're so good. So we're going to start this morning with Psalms 27. The back of the house is amazing. Russ worked on putting all these words in, and I so appreciate it. Here we go. Let this just encourage your heart as you hear these words out of Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in the temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversary. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above the enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in the tent with shouts of joy and will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me when I answer. My heart says this about you. Seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes or false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your hearts be courageous. Wait for the Lord. This is King David, and King David is declaring the truth of God's goodness in the middle of some crazy circumstances. He's telling God, I want to be in your presence to see your beauty. He is saying, God, I have foes, I have enemies, I have adversaries. They're coming against me. They're lying about me. They're screaming violence. They want to devour me. But this is what I know, God. I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. And while I wait, I will be encouraged. That's what King David is saying. Life is not always easy, but God is good. So we're going to go and we're going to read Psalm 16 real quick. It says this. Protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. As for the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them. The sorrows of those who take another God for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood. I will not speak their names with my lips. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even in the night when my thoughts trouble me. I always let the Lord guide me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful ones to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. Other versions say, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are eternal pleasures. Everybody say, thank you, God. So we're in a series right now, and we're going through the book of Philippians, and the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, would have been familiar with these Psalms. Did y'all know that? Yep, he sure would have. And I believe that while he was experiencing great persecution and hardships, these Psalms would have helped him remember the truth and the faithfulness of God Almighty. It's so very, very important that we have a personal relationship with Jesus and also that we know his word. Pastor Paul explained last week that joy is not tied to our circumstances. He said that when with a heart of gratitude, we will see God in the middle of the craziness. We will be able to trust God even when we don't see his goodness yet. And gratitude will help us continue to pray in the very most difficult times. As I was typing that out, I was reminded of this story about Corrie Ten Boom, and I'm sure that y'all know this, so I'm just going to give a real quick snippet of it. But Corrie Ten Boom, she ended up, her and her sister, in a concentration camp because she was helping the Jews. And in the place where they ended up, there was this infestation of fleas, like a terrible, horrible infestation of fleas. And her sister Betsy came to her and said, hey, in this time, this might help us. 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances. And Corrie Ten Boom was like, well, I'll give thanks, but not for these fleas. Absolutely not doing it. And Betsy was like, but listen, we can give thanks because they didn't confiscate our bags, and we still have our Bible. And Corrie Ten Boom was like, you're right, I can do that, but not for the fleas. And then she's like, okay, well, we can give thanks because a lot of families got separated and we're still together. And she's like, yeah, okay, I can give thanks for that, but not the fleas. Years later, Corrie Ten Boom reflected on that, and she said this is how she was taught to give thanks in all things, because you just never know. The reason that she said that was because later on she learned that it was because of the fleas that her and her sister were not abused by the guards. So actually it was protecting her. And she said, well, strange as it may seem, perhaps this is precisely the right time to give thanks. You just never know what God's doing. You just never know what he's up to behind the scenes. The Apostle Paul chose to believe that God was working and in the middle of the mess, and he had joy. He was writing this letter to encourage the people in the church of Philippi, and he was telling them, thank you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for giving money to me. Thank you for partnering with me in the ministry of the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus, all while he was in prison. He was in prison and he was still trusting God. He was still declaring truth and he was still encouraging others. Our bad days should not stop our faith in God. And it most certainly should not stop our declaration of his goodness to others. In the hardest seasons, in the ones that we don't understand, the times that seem ridiculously unfair. Doesn't life seem unfair sometimes? Like, what the heck, right? Ridiculously unfair. God is still faithful, and He is still working on our behalf. And if we remain faithful, He will use our testimony and our life story to reveal His goodness to the people around us. Now, this is where many, many people choose to walk away from God, and they choose to walk away from Jesus. And that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is walk away from His goodness and the plans that He has for your life. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has come. He has sent. His main objective is to destroy your life and your family. And if he, Satan, can get you to believe that your natural circumstances are a reason to accept a different truth than what's in the Word of God, then he wins and you lose. It is that black and white. The moment you create a truth that's different from God's truth, you hand over your peace and your joy. So I'm going to just remind you of a couple truths in Scripture. This is, of course, not all of them, but these are the ones that came to me. God will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't leave them with the fleas. He was there. Nothing can separate you from His love, no matter what we've done. He forgives and He saves. He redeems and He restores. He loves us. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. You are created in His image, and He has plans for your life. Peace is yours through Jesus. It's a promise in Scripture. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. All right, so Kid City in the room, are you listening? We're going to say Jesus is Lord three times, and I want you to yell like you yell in the back. Are you ready? Adults, you can join them, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay, good job. That's your wake-up call. All right, Jesus is Lord, and He wants to be Lord of your life. I felt very, very, very strongly as I was putting this together to share just the simple gospel. We do that every week also in Kid City, so I'm going to do that really quickly. God created the world and everything in it. He is a holy God, and there is no sin in Him. He is preparing a holy people. Sin came into the world when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God's commands. And sin will steal your peace and your joy. God knew that we needed help to be restored, and He knew our relationship with Him was compromised because of sin. So He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus into the world to take our punishment and to become the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus willingly. He wasn't upset about it. Like, do I really have to do this? Come on, God. No. He was like, for the joy set before me, I'm going to endure the cross for them. That's what He did. Jesus willingly died a brutal, painful death so that we could be forgiven, restored, back to right relationship with God the Father. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, we believe, and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, a supernatural transaction happens and we are saved. Can't always explain it, but it happens. It's real. It's God's kindness that brings us to a place of repentance. This is where we recognize that we're sinners and our lives are not honoring God. We say, God, forgive me and wash me clean. Make me a holy vessel you can use to spread the good news of Jesus everywhere I go. God, I receive your forgiveness and grace and peace and salvation. Our part is to receive it. We have to believe and we have to receive. Now, the Apostle Paul that wrote this book of Philippians knew the mercy of God. He knew the kindness of God, and it led him to repentance. And Paul accepted God's grace. He believed in Jesus. He was forgiven. He was set free. And he became a sold-out follower of Jesus, and his voice was amplified, and the kingdom of God, the family of God, grew. There is a kingdom call right now for people to repent. There is. It's a season of repentance. I say it every day, all the time. And repentance is just to see and to recognize, hey, I'm a sinful person. And the Bible says that we all sin, so there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. We all sin. And then we turn to Jesus, and we ask him to forgive us and wash us clean. And when we do that, we receive forgiveness, and we receive the strength to live lives of holiness because we're different. To be set apart, to use our voices to declare the good news of Jesus to the broken and a sin-filled, anxiety-ridden world. People need Jesus, not religion. They don't need a bunch of religious rules. They need Jesus. They need the love of God to flow in their lives like they've never experienced before. So we are getting to Philippians, but before I do that, I want to refer back to my last message that I preached here. It was about a month ago. You can go watch it if you missed it. I would recommend that you do, not because it's me, but because it's very timely. The Apostle Paul that is writing this letter to the church in Philippi is the same man who was in the crowd when Stephen was martyred. I want you to think about that. He was in the crowd. He approved of it. Okay? He wasn't just a bystander. When someone is killed because of their faith in Jesus and their boldness to declare God's truth, the kingdom of God responds. And we know that Paul was there. We know that Stephen asked God to forgive them for stoning him, right? And we know that Stephen entered into heaven. He had a beautiful welcome into heaven. I'm not going to teach this, but I'm going to take a minute to say this. If we look at what happened after Stephen was stoned, we know that the believers, the church, they were scattered, and we know that they came against heavy persecution that broke out. But what else happened? How did the kingdom of God respond to that? How did the kingdom of God? Let me just read. I'm only going to read four verses of this because I know we are getting to Philippians, I promise. This is how they responded right after. It says, so they were scattered. Those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said. They were paying attention to what Philip said as they listened and saw signs he was performing for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Just in those four verses, the gospel was preached. Crowds were actually listening to the gospel. Miracles were happening. There was deliverance. There was healings taking place. And the city was filled with joy. If we continue in chapter 8, these are just some things, some bullet points that I saw in chapter 8 that jumped off the page at me. There was salvations. There was baptisms. Simon the sorcerer believed. People received the Holy Spirit. There was angelic activity. The good news was shared and received. And then you step into chapter 9, and you know what happens? Saul, the man who was there while Stephen was murdered, had an encounter with God. Saul, the one we now call the Apostle Paul, who is writing the book that we're fixing to get into. Saul, the man we now call Paul, He went from persecuting Christians to unashamedly preaching the gospel. He radically changed from Saul to Paul. Now, the time between Stephen's stoning and his radical encounter is somewhere between 1 to 3 years. So it was a window of time when this was happening, okay? But what happened? This is the question. What happened after Stephen was martyred? This is my answer. An explosion of kingdom revelation, Holy Ghost power, and the salvation of many. That's what happened. Believers were boldly declaring the truth and moving in signs and wonders. And the rebellious and the deceived, they were radically saved, healed, and delivered. People need Jesus. And so the obvious question is, are we in a similar season? Are we in a similar season of time? Is there someone who was at the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk, who will one day have a radical encounter with Jesus and stand up to be a voice of truth in this generation like no one has ever seen? Maybe. But here's my question to you. Will we, as people of God, like the disciples and the believers, rise up and be bold in sharing our faith like these early Christians, allowing the power of God to flow through us? Are we the vessels that are set apart for God to use in this unique time? That's what we have to ask ourselves. There is no room for compromise in our lives. The Apostle Paul was fully committed and his life was consecrated before the Lord. After Paul's encounter that transformed his life, he traveled around telling everybody about Jesus, making disciples, starting churches. And in our passage today from Philippians, Paul is writing from prison because he was arrested for telling people about Jesus and because he wasn't tolerating the demonic activity that was happening around him. Remember, he shut down the girl who was doing fortune telling. That's what, and the businessmen got mad because they were making money off of her, so actually they were using her, right? But they got mad, and that's how he ended up in prison. Instead of being discouraged and angry because he was in jail, he continued to be filled with joy because the gospel was being shared. All right, so now we're going to go to Philippians. Philippians 1 should be on the screen as well. 12 through 20, it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel." What has happened to him as he got thrown in jail has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and everyone else that my imprisonment is because I'm in Christ. Most of the believers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. In this, he's saying the guards, the people around us, are talking about why I'm in jail, and that's because of Jesus. And the believers were growing in confidence to share the gospel. "To be sure," he says in verse 15, "to be sure, some preach Christ out of envy or rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, and others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment." Paul is telling the church in Philippi, listen, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. And I see their motives. And they don't have my best interest at heart. But Christ is being preached. The good news is being presented to unbelievers. And the gospel is being proclaimed. And you know what? God can use that. We don't need to get too worked up about it. So he says in verse 18, what does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter? Don't get worked up. I'm going to rejoice that the gospel is shared. I do want to make this point that this passage is not talking about people who pervert the gospel. Okay? It is not talking about people who were making up their own doctrines to compromise and live in sin. Paul says in other places, and I have them here, I'm not going to read them, but in Romans and 1 Timothy, basically he says, do not tolerate any of that. And he says, actually walk away from it. So that's not what he's saying here, okay? When he says, what does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continually rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether in life or in death. He ends by saying to this, to the church in Philippi, this is what he ends saying. I will rejoice. I know you guys are praying. Jesus is going to help me. And the gospel is still being preached. I will not be ashamed. Christ will be honored whether I live or I die. He's saying, calm down. These hard times in my life are actually helping the gospel to spread, and people are hearing about Jesus. Calm down, and let's rejoice, people. So my quick one-minute takeaway of these passages is this. It's not time for us to be sowing seeds of discord and doubt among believers. We need to follow Paul's example and celebrate and be filled with joy because God can use the spoken gospel in the hearts of unbelievers. That's not on us, y'all. God does that. Instead of criticizing people and other ministries, we should spur one another on to good works and pray for each other. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Paul knew that it was God who does the heart work in the people listening, not us. And so he rejoiced. In this current season of time that we are living in, be encouraged. Be encouraged and be filled with great joy because God is working and Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit, he is here to help us. And people are finding a boldness to share the gospel right now more than ever. Don't let the enemy steal your joy and don't compromise on truth that's in God's word. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Be bold in sharing your faith and encourage each other because, again, people need Jesus, not religion. They need Jesus. They need the kindness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And that comes through you. We get all puffed up and worried about things that we don't need to get puffed up and worried about. We need to love people, period. That's what we need to do. Okay, so we're going to... Give me a second. I want to read this really fast. We're fixing to close here in a second, but I wasn't sure, but I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is a book by Leonard Ravenhill, and it says this. The joy of Jesus, the joy Jesus gives is not effervescent, not on high emotional riding the crest of a fascist wave. This joy that we're talking about is as real at the graveside as it is at the fireside. It does not evaporate under the heat of adversity. It does not collapse under the presence of calumny or slander. It does not wither in the onslaught of calamity. It does not panic in the presence of perfidy or betrayal. It does not sour under the test of poverty. It does not die at the cruel hand of tragedy. It does not falter in the presence of misery. Joy is not created by possessions or positions, but by a person, and that's Jesus. Goes on to say, joy is maintained by abiding in him, by believing in him, and by obeying him. Jesus, he's the one who brings us joy, true, authentic joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, we read it earlier, in your presence there is fullness of joy. So we're going to end today at the altar, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Kid City kids, while I'm talking, can you quietly come to the front? Miss Michelle, Miss Allison, and Miss Callie, they have your paper and your crayons over here. Come up here. Gabe, if you want to come help, hand up paper and crayons. Since you know what to do, you can tell the ladies. They're not sure. You can tell them. They would love for you to tell them, Gabe. Gabe's a mighty man of God, and he helps me on Sundays. What's going to happen here is these kids are going to get their papers. We're going to play. I have a playlist. We're going to start it in a minute. And they're just going to draw. They're going to sit in the presence of the Lord. They're going to write the words that God tells them. Y'all don't have to sit on the altar. Maybe sit on the floor. And then you can draw on the altar. Or draw wherever. Wherever you find a place with the Lord. I believe and I know these kids hear from the Lord. But this is the call to you guys sitting out there, you adults. If you want to come get paper, come get paper. I know some of you are very creative and you might want to draw as well. So please feel free to do that and join them. Will, yes. Allison, give Will some paper and some crayons. He draws. He caught my attention. Sorry, Will. Ooh, he knows me. He's like, Miss Bridget, stop. Okay, sorry. So sorry for that. Oh, my gracious. Okay. Here's the invitation to y'all, okay? I feel like there is a huge, deep cry in the lives of people right now to be filled with peace and joy. It's a deep cry, and I feel it so deeply, and I believe the Lord feels it. That's why I think I'm feeling it so deeply, because I'm feeling a little bitty piece of what he feels. So the invite today is for you to come and sit in his presence. Come be filled with his presence and be filled with his joy. Our altar team, they're going to come up as well. If you just need to sit, come and sit. If you need someone to pray with you, they are going to be available to pray with you. And then I believe that there are people in this room who are praying for loved ones. Praying for people who need to know Jesus. I believe that we're in a time where people are actually receiving him. And so today, I'm asking, the Lord is inviting you to come to the altar and pray for them today. So that's a lot of request. But I do believe that everything I just said is on the heart of the Lord. I heard this a couple of months ago. I was sitting over there and worship was ending, and I heard the Lord say, they need my presence more than they need a lesson. And because I heard the specific word lesson, I took that to mean Kid City. Now back there, they actually get a mini preach. I actually do a whole thing back there. They don't get games and candy. They get a mini preach. But when I heard the word lesson, I was like, oh God. And I just started crying. And I'm like, what do I do with that? And so Allison had showed up that day just out of the blue. I didn't know it. I know she was coming. And I leaned over to her and I was like, this is what I heard the Lord say. And I'm crying. I got the snubs. And I'm like, can you please come back and just play worship? Fill the room with worship. So the kids, they come in, and I'm still crying, and I tell them what the Lord had said, Allison got on the keys and she started playing, and the presence of the Lord fell in that room. And y'all, when it did, you can tell the kids who are thinking about the birthday party that they're going to later in the afternoon, and then the ones who have just been like, oh, there's Jesus. And they're receiving his love. And they're receiving his kindness. They're receiving that blanket of peace that wraps around you when you sit in his presence. They're receiving his joy. I didn't say a word. Miss Laura was in there with me that day. We both just cried, and the room was filled with the presence of the Lord. And the kids encountered him in that moment. Do I know what they needed? No. Do I know what they received? No. Because that's between them and their heavenly Father. I believe that that is the invitation today, to come and to sit like little children in the presence of the Lord and be willing to listen and allow him to fill you with whatever he wants to fill you with today. So, I have some songs that are that the back of the house is going to play for us. It's about 10 or 15 minutes. It's not very long. But I'm going to invite you now to stand. And I'm going to ask you to be bold. Be bold and come up here and sit in the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to pray and they're going to hit play. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, God, that you see us. God, fill this place, Jesus, with the tangible presence of you, the sweet presence of you, God. Come and join us today in a powerful way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please come while the music plays, and either Pastor Paul or myself will close out worship. Amen. God is so good. Because I have known Will for a very long time since he was in Kid City, and I know how he hears from the Lord. I asked him just, what did you hear the Lord say? And he said the word blanket. And he said he heard the word blanket before I said the word blanket, so it caught his attention. And I had thought about sharing something that we have done in Kid City recently about how the peace of God is like a blanket that covers you. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing today and did today and will continue to do when you sit in his presence. He will cover you like a blanket, not a cheap blanket. The blanket that you wrap and you get all squishy in and you love it and you just don't want to move because you're in the blanket. You're in the peace of God. So Pastor Paul's going to end this, I believe.
With a squishmallow pillow. Just, I want to give you this benediction. I heard this morning in my quiet time with the Lord as I was listening to John 17, and I wasn't sure how it was going to tie into today, but the word blanket, all the things. This is what Jesus prayed. John 17, verse 15. He said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Now listen, I don't have time to preach this. But we live in a society, in a culture, in church, where we think that the pinnacle of spirituality is that you never have a problem. And Jesus, knowing the evil in the world, said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That blanket that Will saw and heard that Pastor Bridget just mentioned, what I saw when I read that verse was like, how do those things go together, God? And he's like, because I have you in my hand. And as you pass through this evil world, I have you in my hand. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them. So many scriptures about God literally putting us in a cave, protecting us, covering us with his hand. You've heard a few of those scriptures today. He pulls us in like he shelters us with his wing. Stop asking him to take you out of where he's placed you and start thanking him that he is protecting you while you're there. He has you. And so would you put your hands in front of you right now and just receive this from the Lord. God, we step in this week to the prayer that you prayed. We will not leave this place of peace and go back into places and just like be panicking. We will step into those places with the peace that you have given us today. We carry that to those places in such a way that people will look at us and be like, wait a second, why aren't you freaking out like everybody else is? You're in the same mess we are. And our answer will be, because I might be in this mess with you, but I'm being held by somebody greater. Can I talk to you about Jesus? Thank you for the beautiful work that you're doing here at the gathering. Thank you for the beautiful way that you're returning us to joy, even in the midst of hard things. May we be the people writing a letter full of joy from prison. In Jesus' name, amen.